Let me start by saying that six or so weeks ago, when I first was working on this sermon, the concept for the sermon, I had an idea, and the idea entailed reading the gospel lesson first, and then I was going to read the epistle lesson myself, instead of having the liturgist do that. Somewhere in between the planning it and the doing it, all of that just sort of disappeared. You know, you never know what's going to actually happen. In fact, the sound booth, they know better than to assume that everything's going to be actually what I give them at the beginning of the week. It may get changed at a moment's notice. So it changes all the time. Anyway, there's an old joke that I have modified slightly. If custodians and preachers were to go on strike at the same time, who would you miss first? I like that. You didn't even have to think about it for a second. You knew, huh? Okay. Well, about six or so weeks ago, Dale Evans, our custodian, had some serious health problems. He was at dinner and he had some problems and he almost died. I mean, they had to bring him back right there. Got him to the ICU, got him in intensive care, took care of him, and was able to do a procedure for him, and that looked pretty good. Things were coming back. He got out of the hospital. We got back after 2 weeks in Hawaii, and we were here, and they had lunch together. And he came, and we had lunch at Chili's. A whole bunch of the staff got together. We had lunch together. He looked good. He lost a lot of weight. He was in great shape. Friday of that, well, that was Tuesday, I believe, Monday or Tuesday. Friday of that week, he was back in the hospital again. Serious. I mean, that's when I told you they took two liter bottles of fluid off his heart. I mean, serious trouble. He could have died again. Came through that. They got him well, a week or so in the hospital. He's been at home now, recuperating, walking, and getting better and better and better. Well, tomorrow he comes back to work. Only part-time at this point, but he's back. And that's good. And it's one of the wonders of this church, that when Dale was gone, the trustees swung into operation, and they gathered together a group of people from this church, and not just the trustees, but a fairly large group, I don't know, 20 or 30 by the time you add them all up, of people that came together to help clean the church while Dale couldn't. They stood in for Dale, took his job, did the thing for them, for the church, in order to keep the church going, but also to help Dale, so that Dale wouldn't have to worry about those, and so he could keep his job and his insurance and everything else. This church made grace real. Not just talk about it, not just the words that we read about in the Bible or that we pray about or we preach about, but made grace real. And not just by doing the work here, but also by communicating with Dale. He had hundreds of cards in his hospital room, telephone calls to him and Jerry, prayers, supporting and caring for him. That's the kind of church this is. That's the kind of church that we all need to be, a church that cares and reaches out and watches out for one another. Even the least of our members need to be watched out for. But that's not the only example. It goes on. We have all kinds of groups in this church that care about one another and reach out for each other. We had a Monday morning group, men and women that come together that do the maintenance and bushes and keep the place clean. Keep it a beacon of light to the world so that the world comes by and says, somebody cares about that building. Somebody cares about those people. We've got all kinds of food feeding programs. We've got Our Father's Table and the Food Pantry and Share. All groups of people who come together to make sure that this church reaches out to those who are needing it the most. And there's the Monday morning care group. They gather every Monday morning unless it's Christmas Day. If it's Christmas Day on Monday morning, they don't gather. But every Monday, all those Monday holidays, they're right here. They reach out to the members of this church who are hurting in the hospital, in nursing homes, in shut-ins at home. They write cards, anniversary cards, birthday cards, get well cards, condolence cards, all kinds of cards. Just missing you cards. Thinking about you cards. And they pray. They pray for the members of this church. And then they take the flowers on Sunday morning that we give, that you give together to put up on the altar. They take them and they put them in individual bud vases. And they take those flowers, they take those flowers and they go out to the community, out to those in the nursing home, out to those who are hurting, out to those who are shut in, and give them a flower and a visit and a, and maybe even a disc of the sermon or something like that. Then there's the membership tracking committee. All they do is keep track of you, making sure that you don't fall through the cracks. An important part of watching out for and caring for one another. We got all kinds of people. That's not all of them. That's not even close to all of them. If I were to talk about all the different groups in this church that cared for one another, I'd be here the rest of the hour just talking about and describing for you all the different things they do. And then we have the committees, the working committees. Now, some people say the committees don't do much. They get together, they argue a little bit, and they go home, and nothing is accomplished. And maybe sometimes that's true, but if they come together with a common goal, a common desire to get things done, then they're going to get things done. And things happen because our committees get together, because they have that common goal. Many years ago, when I was much younger, I was at a workshop. There was a large group of people there, and we were sitting around tables. They had us gather together in groups of 10. And this was, they call it survival training. What it was is a program, and the idea was that the people at your table were in an airplane together. In this particular case, they have several of these. But we're in an airplane together, and the airplane crash lands in the Canadian wilderness. So you've got all these trees, all the bears, all the lakes, all that stuff going on. And when you crash, the pilot and co-pilot are killed, and the radio is destroyed. And then you have these 15 items. A jug of water, an aerial map, a knife, a this, that, another thing. 15 items. And what they want you to do is they want you to rank those 15 items in importance to your survival. And you have to figure out which one you want is the most important and which one is the least important, and you lay them out. When you get finished doing that, everybody in your group is finished doing that, then you get together as a group of 10, you get together and you do the same thing. You're not allowed to vote. You have to talk about it, say, this is what I believe, this is why I think this is the way it should be. And together you get a consensus. And once you have that consensus, then you put your list down. The third part of this thing is then they compare the two lists, yours against an expert's, and the groups against an expert's. And I've done this three times with three different scenarios. I have done this in it's a desert scenario, a water scenario, and the Canadian Rockies scenario, or not Rockies, woods, outlands. And all three times, and in every situation, the people who did it by themselves scored lower than when you did it together as a group. When we work together, we do a better job. When we work together, we get things done. When we work together, when we're there for one another, when we have each other's back and we know it, when we share our skills, our time, and our talents with other people, whether it's good times or bad times, whether it's time to cry with joy or cry with sorrow, whatever it is, we're going to be able to do better if we do it together than if we do it alone. We need to work together. Now, this is not saying that there's not times to be alone. There's not times to get away from the world, away from all the stuff that's going on out there in the world, and to get alone with God, to be able to take some time to be quiet and listen to the power of God. We need that. But we need each other, too, because we sustain and support one another. There's a story that you probably heard before about a preacher heard that one of his parishioners was saying that he could go to church out in his backyard. He didn't need to come to the church. He could worship God just as well in his backyard or in the golf course or the river or fishing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So the preacher decided he was going to go visit this man. He knocked on his door one cold winter day, and the man opens the door, takes a look at him, and says, "Preacher." And he turns around and walks away, leaving the door open. So the preacher comes in, shuts the door. He gets into the living room, and the man is sitting in a chair right here. And in between them is one of these little coffee tables, little one, end table with a lamp kind of thing in it. And then another chair, and in front of them is the fireplace. So the preacher sits down. Didn't say a word, just sits there. After a few minutes, he gets up, the preacher gets up, and he goes up to the fireplace, and he takes the fire screen down, and he takes a pair of tongs, and there's this ember, this hunk of wood that's in the fire. And it's dancing with the rest of the fire. The flames are going, you know what I'm talking about? Red and yellows and oranges and blues, and just dancing. And it picks that ember out, and he puts it over here on the side. And he puts the tongs back, and he puts the screen back up, and sits down. Still hadn't said a word. Fairly quickly, the flames start going down. Almost immediately, you can see the difference in the color. Instead of bright blues and reds, it's starting into the darker oranges. And pretty quick, there is no flame left anymore. And then, instead of being a bright red ember, it goes darker and darker and darker until it finally turns to gray. The man's been sitting there this whole time watching this, and he says, "Preacher, you're right. I'll see you on Sunday morning." We need each other to strengthen each other. We need each other to empower one another, to liven one another, to lift one another. We need each other if we're going to be able to do it together. One of the reasons we need each other is because we learn from each other. We don't do it by ourselves, do we? I mean, I know people that can play a piano and never have taken a lesson. They hear a piece of music. I've heard of this. I've never seen it myself, but they hear a piece of music. They walk over to a piano they've never played in their life, and they sit down and they play Bach or Beethoven or Mozart or something like that, and they do it. They do it. It's possible. How many here do that? You and I, if we want to take a lesson, I mean learn an instrument, we have to take a lesson, don't we? We have to do the basics. We have to learn the common things. You do the scales 25,000 times a day. You know, you do the scales, you do the scales, you do the scales. You have to learn. You have to put this material together. You have to begin someplace, and then you take what they gave you and you build on it. Same thing with wisdom and knowledge. We aren't born smart. We have to go to school. We have to have a teacher. We have to have somebody to show us the right way. We have to understand what's going on. But once we know 2 + 2 = 4, then we can take your 2 and my 2 and we can make a new 4. We can understand something different because of what we have discovered. You go to the hospital. You got a doctor appointment. You're concerned. The doctor says it's whatever. And we're having a real problem with this. Isn't the best medical team, a group of doctors that get together to combine their knowledge and their understanding and their experience together? Wouldn't you rather have a team of doctors working on you than just one doctor working on you? Many years ago, when I was in seminary, 40-odd years ago, I went to seminary not because I knew all about seminary and about what it meant to be a preacher, but the fact is I didn't. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know what it meant to be a preacher. I didn't know what it meant to be a pastor. But I went to seminary. Remember last Sunday's Peanuts? It was Dennis the Menace cartoon. Dennis comes out of church and says to the pastor there, he says, "I've decided I want to become a preacher like you." And the preacher says, "Oh, what brought this on?" And Dennis says, "Well, it was a no-brainer. You only work 1 hour a week." Hey, that's me. As far as I knew, preachers worked 1 hour a week. I wasn't doing it because that's the reason. But, you know, I didn't know. I had no clue when I went off to school. And I didn't have a clue about all that other stuff. Sin, forgiveness, reconciliation, Ecclesiastes, the end time, all this regeneration, all that stuff, they were just words. Matter of fact, many of them I'd never heard before in my life until I got there. But when I got there, I was within a community of people who were studying and learning what it meant to be people of God. And I discovered the depth of God's love and grace. And these words put meaning and voice to that love and grace. And suddenly I began to understand what they were all about and why we were doing it that way. Together, we can work to move this world. Jesus did. Jesus moved the world with 12 disciples. And he didn't even give them he didn't even lay out the plan. He didn't say to them, "Now this is what I want you to do. On this day and this day and this day, you do this and this and that." He just sort of said, "Take it, guys," and left. Gave them the Holy Spirit so they understood what was going on, but it was up to them. And together they were able to grow within a fairly short number of years. They were grow outside the bounds of the Israel and eventually to the world. And to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people everywhere. John Wesley did it. John Wesley, he couldn't get the Anglican priest. He was an Anglican priest. He couldn't get the other Anglican priest to work with him. And so it was laity, you and me, people who gathered together with him, who heard the message of grace and salvation, who knew the assurance of their pardon, and they wanted to carry this word to the world and to make a difference in the world. And do you know that the Assembly of God Church is a Wesleyan church? That the Pentecostals are Wesleyans? That the Nazarene Church we say the Nazarene Church is a Duncan Methodist. They believe in immersion. But they're Wesleyan. The Free Methodists are Wesleyan. The United Methodist, the Methodist Church of England, all of them Wesleyan. Hundreds of millions of people around the world trace their roots back to John Wesley because he was willing to commit himself to Jesus Christ. Together, we can get the job done and we can touch the world and really make a difference. Now, there's danger in going alone. If we think that we're better shaped by ourselves, then we're going to get ourselves in trouble. If we don't want to participate with other people, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. A story about a little mouse who happened to be in the farmhouse one day. He saw the farmer pulling a box out, and he looked and saw, he opened the box up, and there was a mouse trap in that box. And the mouse knew that he was in trouble because he would be tempted by that cheese. So he went out to the barn, and he encounters the chicken, and he asks the chicken, he says, "Can you help me? The farmer has put a mouse trap out." The chicken clucks about it for a second or two, but decides that there's really nothing the chicken can do, and he's real sorry for the mouse, but sorry, you're on your own, baby. So the mouse goes to the pig and tells the pig about what's going on. The pig thinks about it for a second, but he says, "There's nothing I can do. You know, your problem, not my problem. I'm not in a trouble with a mouse trap. It couldn't hurt me at all. Sorry about that." So the mouse then goes to the cow and tells the cow all about it. The cow is sympathetic. "Oh, that's terrible. I am sorry to hear about that. But it's your problem, not mine. Just stay away from the cheese. Just say no." Anyway, so the mouse is very concerned, and he really resists temptation that night and stays away from the farmhouse, even though he knows the cheese is there. Well, in the middle of the night, the farm wife hears the farmer's wife hears the trap go off. And thinking she's caught that nasty little dirty mouse, she goes to check. She didn't catch a mouse. She caught a snake. A poisonous snake by the tail. When she went to check on the mouse trap, she got too close, not knowing that it was a snake. The snake bit her. Well, she got sick. And she had to go to bed. Well, what do you do when somebody's sick? What do you feed them? Chicken soup. Suddenly, it's not such an esoteric thing after all, is it? Chicken soup didn't do the trick. She still got sick, and she was concerned. And people were concerned, and her church came, and the community came, and sat with her, and talked with her, and ate with her. Well, that much food, they had to have food to feed these people, and so he had to butcher the pig. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not a happy ending. The farmer's wife died. She was a fine lady, a caring lady, a compassionate lady, loved by many, many people. They had a big funeral and a bigger reception. With all those mouths to feed, he had to have lots of food, and so he slaughtered the cow. If we think that we can do it by ourselves, if your problem is not my problem, we got a long way to go. We got to worry. Because there is strength in numbers. Together, we can heal the problems of this world. Together, we can fight hate and injustice. Together, we can move into the future. But we've got to do it together. There's a story about a group of people in Italy. They're on a tour. They get off the tour bus on the side of the road and walk into the basilica, and they toured the basilica. Well, the bus can't sit there in the road, so it had to go down. It turned around and came back. It was on the other side of the road now, and those cars are going. And the people have to get across the other side, so they spread out across the curb, and they're getting ready to make a dash for it when the guide begins yelling at them, "No, don't do that. Bunch up. Bunch up. If you go across one at a time, they'll hit you one at a time. But if you go across in a group, they'll think you're going to damage their car and they'll stop." We got to do it together. We got to be in this together if we're going to get it done. When we work together to get the job done, when we combine our skills and talents with the talents and skills of other people to reach the best outcome, when we stand as Christians against the world, shouting the good news of Jesus Christ, saying this is what is important, this is what empowers me, this is what gives me strength. When we are willing to do that, we will accomplish more than if we strike out against the world all by ourselves, a single candle against the winds of evil and hate. We can't do it. Together, we can grow this church. Its mission, its ministries, its outreach, its evangelism, its spirituality. We can grow this church. 2011 is going to be a tough year, isn't it? It's going to be a tough year for the church. It's going to be a tough year for our community. It's going to be a tough year for our country. It's going to be a tough year for those who are hurting right now, economically especially. But if we work together, if we support one another, if we have faith, if we care for one another, then we are going to be able to be there, not hiding against a world that is full of pain and sorrow, but there to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is still Lord, even in the midst of all of this. We can do it if we do it together. Now, our stewardship campaign this year is called Together We Grow. Together we grow in Jesus Christ. Together we grow in ministry. Together we can do it. Out in the narthex and over here by this door, there are some prayer plants. They're beautiful plants, and my understanding is that they fold up in the evening and look like praying hands. We'd like to ask if you would take one per family home with you. Put it in the middle of your breakfast room table or wherever you have a meal. And then when you see it, pray for the church. Pray for the stewardship campaign. But pray for the church, that together, working together, caring with one another, sharing with one another, reaching out to one another, we can get it done. We can make a difference. We can do it together. Amen.